Welcome back to Through the Word. Pastor Jonathan here, and joining me once again is Chris Langham.
Thank you, Jonathan. Today we are in Exodus 30, and we see the final instructions for the building of the tabernacle, the place where Almighty God would dwell with His people. Amazing. Jonathan, take us in.
After spending a few chapters discussing the priestly garments and ordination ceremony, the Lord gives Moses a few more instructions concerning the tabernacle. We start with one more piece of furniture for inside the tabernacle. Verse 1, make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be square, a cubit long and a cubit wide, and 2 cubits high, its horns of one piece with it. Overlay the top and all the sides of the horns with pure gold, and make a gold molding around it.
So the last piece of furniture for the inside of the tent is a small altar, about 1 meter tall, which is 3 feet for us silly Americans, and its purpose is burning incense. In the Bible, incense is often used to represent the prayers of the faithful. In Revelation 5, the Apostle John gets a glimpse into heaven, and there is a phenomenal picture there of the Lamb of God, Jesus, on the throne, and the 24 elders and 4 living creatures bowing before him, and they hold golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. I love that picture. Prayer is like incense, rising up to God as a sweet aroma.
Right, and I really love the part in Revelation 8 where that same incense that drifts slowly up to heaven is later hurled back down to earth with thunder and lightning in judgment. Talk about the power of prayer.
That picture is awesome. And keep in mind that all of this is meant to be a picture. There is symbolism everywhere, and all of it relates back to the core purpose of the tabernacle itself, a place for God to dwell with his people. It's all about God with us, and every element here gives us insight about our relationship with God, what it takes to meet with him, to be in his presence. So here in this grand picture of how we approach God, of course, we should have something that pictures prayer. So here it is, the altar of incense.
Also, remember that the earthly tabernacle is a reflection of God's heavenly sanctuary. As you enter the tabernacle, the table of bread is on your right and the lampstand is on the left. And right in front of the curtain leading to the Holy of Holies is the altar of incense. And there, the fragrant smoke would be expected to reach into the Holy of Holies to be a sweet-smelling aroma to God.
And the priests were to offer incense upon the altar twice a day, in the morning and at evening. Just as Israel offered up this incense, so should God's people today offer up prayers continually. And each year, that altar would be sanctified by blood from the sin offering. In the same way, the blood of Christ sanctifies us, so that we are fit to approach God's throne in prayer.
Down in verse 11, the Lord takes Moses on a detour, if you will, to discuss the paying of a ransom for the nation of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses in verse 12, when you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. Each one who crosses over to those already counted is to give a half shekel, according to the sanctuary shekel.
So God tells Moses when they count the people in a census, each person is to pay a half shekel ransom. Interesting. By doing this, the people won't have a plague fall upon them. So why would there be a plague upon the nation if they get counted but don't pay?
There were really only 2 uses for taking a census in the time of Israel, taxes and war. While the people paid a tithe for the Levites and the poor, there was no law for an income tax in Israel. And the only wars the nation were to fight in were wars where God commanded it. So there wasn't much need of a census. Now, God did instruct a census to be taken at the beginning and at the end of the book of Numbers to count how many Israelites in each tribe started and completed the Exodus. But outside of that, taking a census would generally be an act of covenant disobedience.
That explains God's anger against King David in 2 Samuel 24. David counted his troops for battle and without the payment of ransom. And just as promised here, God sent a plague as punishment. But why would God demand a ransom?
Well, paying the ransom was a reminder to Israel and their leaders of whom they belonged to. It spoke of ownership. everyone was counted in the census, and admitting that they deserved death, that they owed a debt to God, they paid a ransom as a type of redemption.
And of course, they all paid the same amount, a half shekel, showing that they were all the same before God, that there was no one with more value. They were all redeemed by the same price. Now, applying that to our relationship with God today, it is important to remember that every last one of us is redeemed at a price. 1 Corinthians 6, you were bought at a price, and no one costs more or less. Jesus paid the price of his life for you and the same price for me. Rich or poor, we are valued the same.
All right, end of the detour, switching back to furniture here. There's one last piece of furniture that needs to be built. Verse 18, make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it.
Remember that the tabernacle had a large outer courtyard with a linen fence around it and the tent of meeting at one end. The basin for washing, or bronze laver, was placed in this courtyard between the altar and the large tent. So as you entered, you would first encounter the altar, then the basin. It served a dual purpose. It provided cleansing for the priests after sacrificing and symbolized the need for a person to be holy and cleansed before approaching God.
Now, the people of Israel did not understand germ theory and did not know of the health benefits from washing hands regularly. But God did, and so he ordered them to wash their hands and feet after sacrifices and any time before they entered the holy place.
For us, we cannot approach the holiness of God in a sloppy or dirty way. We must first be cleansed. And it's interesting to note, they could not find that cleanness in themselves. They had to approach something outside themselves to be cleansed. So we first meet God at the altar, the cross. There our sins are forgiven. Then as we draw near to meet with God, Ephesians 5 says that he cleanses us and sanctifies us, makes us clean and holy through the water of his word.
Right, and it was this truth that Jesus was referring to when he told the disciples at the Last Supper, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean.
Some churches have a foot washing service. For some of us in modern cultures, that can sort of invade our personal space. But the meaning is the important part. The word washes away the dirt that we pick up while walking through life. And we need that to draw near to God.
Let's jump down to verse 25. After giving a list of spices, Moses is told, make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant law, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so that they will be most holy. Whatever touches them will be holy.
The tabernacle and the priests were to be anointed with this special oil created for this one use. When something was anointed in Scripture, it was a physical sign that marked the presence and work of the Holy Spirit on or through that person or thing. Kings were anointed as well as priests and prophets, and here the elements of the tabernacle as well.
Now this oil was to be set apart. It was not for use as a perfume, nor was it to be imitated in any way. If anyone made an imitation of it or used it improperly, they were to be cut off from the people. In the same way, the work of the Holy Spirit is not to be used for personal gain or imitated in any way. Just ask Simon the Sorcerer in Acts 8.
There are also instructions here for the mixing of a special incense used only for the tabernacle. Again, it is not to be used for personal enjoyment. It is a special incense used only in the worship of God. Incense in the Scripture almost always represents the prayers of the people. Just as the smoke from the incense rises, the prayers of God's people rise to his throne. And our prayers are sanctified and holy. Like the incense in the tabernacle, our prayers enter into the very presence of God. So we should treat them as special, not to be messed with. And one little tidbit to notice here, the recipe for the oil includes myrrh. Recipe for the incense includes frankincense. And guess what all the furnishings in the tabernacle were overlaid with? Gold. Now, where have I seen those three together?
Well, that's it for the instructions of the tabernacle. Join us tomorrow as we head into chapter 31 and meet some special craftsmen who helped us build the tabernacle.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.